As usual, though, with the Course in Miracles, is never what it seems. So I'm going to read through the whole section. And also try to...
24.
Mm-hmm, it's on page 24 in the teacher's manual.
Mm-hmm.
When you're reading the Course in Miracles, just keep in mind that it reads almost like synonyms. It's like it almost anticipates every question that will come up in your mind. So it really describes every sentence. Whatever sentence it says, it basically tells you the definition and what it means by that sentence, the next sentence, and then it tells you the definition of that sentence, the next sentence. And one of the most funny things that I watch happen with a lot of Course in Miracles groups and Course in Miracles students is that they think it's about figuring out what the Course is. Mm-hmm. And you probably find yourself doing that too. You'll look down at the page and say, well, let me figure out what it says. And if you read it, you'll find that one of the statements that it makes most of all is, this means, or this is, it'll say something and come right back and say, this means. Mm-hmm. But it's not our meaning. So what happens is that the average person discounts it, mm-hmm. and then tries to project the meanings that they've learned onto it, and then it becomes confusing and disorienting, and they say, I don't know what it means. And the Course says, no, what you really saying is, I don't accept what it means. And so it says, to understand is to accept. Mm-hmm. And I always thought that was interesting. It said, to understand something really is to accept it. Mm-hmm. And one of the analogies that comes to mind for me is when you were first started school, they told you 1 and 1 is 2. You didn't try to figure that out. You just accepted that 1 and 1 was 2. And if they said 5 times 5 was 25, you said okay. And if they said, you know what I'm saying? It's like really, they said that's a car, you say okay. Mm-hmm. You know, we're really just accepting. But there's something about God. There's something about the spirituality, and there's something about the unknown that people feel like they must understand the last thing they can understand. Like, there's no way you're going to figure out God. You know what I'm saying? There's no way we're going to figure out, you know, the universe. But people will accept 1 and 1 is 2, but then they want to figure out God. You know. Yeah, you know, it's really funny. And so when you read the Course from a perspective of you have to figure it out, then the Course itself actually says, it destroys the meaning of the material. Because when you break it down, he says, when you break it down, what happens is that it loses its meaning. Like, if you chop me into 1,000, if you said you want to understand me better and you who I was, and you chop me into 1,000 pieces, it's a lot easier to recognize a puzzle when it's put together than when it's apart. Mm-hmm. Just a quick way of saying that. So our perception is that the way you understand the puzzle best is to break it into a million pieces. But the truth says, no, if you really want to understand what the puzzle is, you put the puzzle together and you look at it as a whole. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing that the Course is saying. Every time people try to break it down, then they just confuse themselves. Or when they read it out of context to the section that they're reading, and then they'll compare it through to something that they read, you know, 3 weeks ago or another thing. They say, well, you know, it said just last week, da, 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 da. And they didn't realize that, no, it was saying that it was a specific point that was being made.
That's just all been part of our conditioning.
Exactly.
I mean, in English, years ago, let's break this sentence down.
That's right.
Math, let's break this
that's right.
formula
that's right.
down. Let's
that's right. And that's why I'm excited about, you know, doing the once a month workshops, because it will give us a chance to get another orientation and another way of learning. Like, you know, it's like you take this section here. When I read it, it may kind of throw you at first. And if it does, I don't mind just saying it back to you in a way that you'll get it. Because when I say it back to you, you'll get it. That's the weird part about it. If I say it back, you tell me what you don't understand, and I say it back to you, and I bet you'll get it. Watch.
It's a miracle.
Yeah, it's a miracle. It says, how can perception of order of difficulties be avoided? The belief in order of difficulties is the basis for the world's perception. Okay? Now notice, then it goes, the very next sentence, it tells you exactly what the world's perception is. The world's perception rests on differences. Then it has a semicolon. Wherever you see a semicolon, it's getting ready to tell you the definition of that. The world's perception, it rests on differences. What does that mean? The world's perception rests on uneven background, shift in foreground, on unequal heights and diverse sizes, on varying degrees of darkness and light, and thousands of contrasts in which each thing seen competes with every other thing seen in order to be recognized. And you go, what is that? And it says, okay, this is what I mean. A larger object overshadows a smaller object. A brighter thing draws the attention from another with less intensity of appeal. And a more threatening idea, which is what? An idea conceived of as more desirable by the world standards, completely upsets the mental balance. Then it ends it with, what the body's eyes behold is only conflict. Look not to the body's eyes for peace and understanding. Okay, let me stop there. We just chew it. Okay, so that paragraph simply said to us that the basis for believing that one thing is more difficult than the other is simply the fact that we see all things as competing with each other for our attention. So it looks like some things are brighter, some things not, some things are more appealing, some things not. So that's what he's saying, that our perception is totally based on unequal heights and diverse sizes and everything looking different. And so he says, we look out and we think we see balance. And he said, when we look out, what we see is conflict. Okay, everybody see that? You know, when we look at everything, it just looks like we see a bunch of differences. And it looks like the differences are clashing all the time.
Some more than others.
Yes, some more than others. So it says, so I love the last sentence, instruction. Look not to them for peace and understanding. Don't look to the body's eyes for peace and understanding. So what happens is we hear the truth, and then we immediately look through our eyes to see what it's talking about. And the Course is saying, that's wrong. You won't see the truth of what the Course is talking about through looking through your eyes, because when you look through your eyes, all you see is differences, and the truth is talking about oneness. And even though, like you said, conditioning would say, okay, let me look through my eyes and let me see what it's talking about. And so then it goes on and says, to say illusions, which people are wondering what the Course in Miracles means when it says illusions. Well, this next paragraph is going to define illusions. Okay, it says illusions are always illusions of differences. How could it be otherwise? By definition, an illusion is an attempt to make something real that is regarded as of major importance, but is recognized as being untrue. The mind therefore seeks to make it true out of its intensity of desire to have it for itself. I bet you all of us can relate to that in terms of relationships at some point or another in our lives, where we wanted to believe something, and even though it wasn't true, we wanted to make it true, even if it wasn't true. That's the definition of illusion you could hear. You know, even though I know this relationship really isn't real, I really would like for it to be real. I really would like this love to be real, and so I'll try to make it real even though it isn't real. I really don't like this situation that I'm in, but I'm going to try to make myself like the situation that I'm in, even though I don't really like it, the situation that I'm in. He says, the mind seeks to make it true out of its intensity of desire to have it. I want it, and even though it's not true, I'm trying to make it true. Like someone saying to somebody, you know you really love me. You know you really want me. Even though you're saying that you don't. See, out of their desire to make it real, even though you told them it wasn't real, then the Course says, let's up that to another level. We want to believe that we're separate bodies. Right? And it's telling us we're more than separate bodies. So even out of our desire to make the separation real, we want to see it real, even if it's not real. We want to make it real, even if it's not real. So basically, the Course is saying an illusion is nothing but something that's important to you that's not true, but you want to make it true. Okay? Then it goes, illusions are what? Travesties of creation. Then if you notice, there's another semicolon. What does that mean? Illusions are attempts to bring truth to lies. is not true, but I want to make it true. Now, this is what happens in spiritual truth. He says, finding truth unacceptable. We are one. We are not a body. We are totally innocent. Everybody deserves love. Everybody's going to be healed. All these loving things the core says, he says, finding truth unacceptable, the mind revolts against the truth and gives itself an illusion of victory. As insane as it may sound, finding health a burden, the mind retreats into feverish dreams. And in these dreams, the mind is separate, different from other minds, with different interests of its own, and able to gratify its needs at the expense of others. The core sometimes sneaks stuff in that's so deep that people miss it.
Sometimes?
Yeah. Well, here's a perfect example. Because the implications of what it just said is mind-boggling if you hear it right. Okay. If you notice, he says, finding health a burden, the mind retreats into feverish dreams. And then he says, and in these dreams, the mind is separate. That sounds like us. Different from other minds. That sounds like us. With different interests of its own. That sounds like us. And it seems like we're able to gratify our needs at the expense of us. So the course is saying, and this is the kind of stuff that blows people's mind, that you can't try to prove it. You just have to kind of go inside. The course defines this as a dream. Because according to its definitions of a dream, that's exactly what it just defined as our experience. He says, when you find the truth unacceptable, then you retreat into an experience where it looks like everybody's different and everybody's trying to gratify their own needs.
And in order for the ego to have a victory, I have to keep proving that that's true over and over again.
And I have to lose sight of who I really am. In other words, if I find my innocence is unacceptable, well, then in order for me to be victorious over that truth, I don't have any choice but to then focus on guilt and fear and sinfulness and attack. If I'm going to reject that I'm love, he's saying you don't have any alternative but to then perceive the opposite of love. So even though people feel like they're doing great things when they go, well, I really am guilty. Like, I don't know if you've ever done this before, but I've attempted to tell people that they were innocent and they fought it tooth and nail. No, I'm not. No, I'm not innocent. No, I'm not. I'm not nice as you think I am. Okay, now check this out. So therefore, they revolted against the truth, right? And so now they've got to go into an experience that validates their unloving perception of themselves. And so people are wondering why they create such painful lives for themselves. They don't know it's all rooted in that core idea that we're sinful and guilty. I think one of the greatest injustices that we do children is when they're born and they come into this world and the first thing that we teach them is that they're sinful and that they're guilty, which is what traditional religion does. That's what I grew up in. I can remember vividly being a little child wondering, what did I do to Jesus when I wasn't even born? It's like, how could he have died for my sins when 2,000 years ago and I wasn't alive? How could I be guilty of crucifying the Son of God and I didn't even know him? You know what I'm saying? I actually ask myself these kind of questions. And when I would ask adults, they would say, well, don't question the Bible. That was what I got as a Southern Baptist in the South. They would literally get mad. You don't question the Bible. You know? So what I'm saying, the error of that is, if the mind creates your reality, and I don't care how old you are, and you have a belief instilled in you in your basic a guilt or unworthiness, then that idea is going to start manifesting itself at a very early age. So you don't know that you got this. It's almost like we're walking around with this ticking time bomb that we all have and we don't know we got it. It's like I was saying the workshop Saturday about secret thoughts, about your experience being the reflection of your secret thoughts. And that's what's going on now. you have all these people who are walking around, and the Course calls it I love it. He calls it the face of innocence. He says, but beneath the face of innocence is all the guilt, you know, all the guilt and attack thoughts that we have, like the idea of being sinful. So up top, I'm what you call a good person. And at the bottom, I have all of these fears and guilts. And he's saying, and those become manifested in your physical reality. And then you're the good person wondering why bad things are happening to you. And you don't even realize it's a reflection of your own subconscious beliefs in your unworthiness. And that's what the big challenge is in the world today, is that I'm busy projecting it, like the good person is what? He's projecting it out there, and he doesn't realize he's really, or she is really meeting their own belief. So the Course calls, that's why the Course calls it a dream. He calls it a dream because it's not the truth. It's just that simple. You know, when we have a dream at night, it seems real, but when we wake up, we all go, oh, I had a dream last night. I had an accident. Right?
Sure.
Yeah, but none of us take it serious the once we wake up. But when we're in it, it looks just like that bear is chasing us down the street, right? The Course, this is so deep, the Course is saying that's exactly what this is. Mm-hmm. That is, that what we're experiencing right now is no different than what we experienced last night when we was asleep. He says the only difference is now we're having the dream that we are awake. He said, now you're still just as asleep, but now you think you are awake. Now, that's really deep, because the ego doesn't like any of this, okay? Because the ego is the part of us that only has reality within the separated dream. So the part of us that thinks it is separate, sitting up here, it doesn't want any part of the idea that this may be a dream, because the separated self only has reality within the dream. Like, if you have a dream at night and it looked like someone was chasing you down the street, when you wake up, you realize if it was your dream, then everybody in it was really made up of your own mind. Even the people that looked like they had separate motivations that were opposite from you in the dream. Unless it was a guy chasing you down the street in the dream. But when you wake up, you realize everything that took place in the dream was in your own mind. But when you're in the dream, it looks like that person is doing something to that person, and this person is doing something to this person, and that person is doing something to that person, right? But then when you wake up, you realize, oh my God, that was my dream, so everybody in the dream was made up of my own mind. Everybody following me on this? It's really not complex. If you've ever had a dream at night, you know what I'm talking about. If you ever had a dream at night and you woke up, you know that if it was your dream, everybody in the dream was made up of your own mind.
Yep.
That's all I'm saying. All the Course is asking us to do at some point is to up that another level and go, oh, that's the same thing that's happening right now. Mm-hmm. While we were in it, it looks real. Yes, last night while I was in it, it looked real. Right now, it looks like all of us got our separate little goals and personal interests. In the dream last night, it looked like everybody had their separate goals and personal interests. In my dream, I went to college. But now that I woke up, I realized if it was a dream, I went to college. Everybody I went to college with was in my dream. So it was all me. Now, the incredible power of doing that is that it transforms this entire physical experience, because at that point this physical experience is not rooted in the idea of separation. And the minute that it's not rooted in the idea of separation, you move over into love. In other words, I don't care whether or not everybody believes what I just said, because I'm dreaming it that way. See, I'm dreaming it as if all of you think you're different from me. Just like last night, I dreamed that everybody... So why should you say you believe you're me? You didn't say you believe you were me in the dream I had last night. That seems separate. So that's the difference between knowing the truth and seeing it. your perception, was what he was saying, your perception does not see anything but differences. See, that's what he just said. Perceptually, it looks like you're different from me, you're different from me, you're different from me, all of you are different from me. So that's just what he said. This level of perception, it looks like difference. But at the level of knowledge, which would be the same as you going, oh, I woke up and I realized the whole dream was me. At the level of knowledge, I got to live from within the dream as if I realized we are one. That it is one mind. That it is just one of us here. And that's the way I attempt to live from the inside. If what happens when you do that is that since all of us know that's the truth, because all of us are joined, then you connect with people at a level beneath their ego. And at that level, we know we're one, and at that level, you find yourself having peace with people that it looks like you shouldn't be having peace with. They'll say stuff to you like, I don't know why I'm being so nice to you. I'm not normally that nice to people who say stuff like that, because you're connecting at a deeper level. So when we communicate from a Course perspective, it's such a deep teaching because we're really bypassing our separated mind. Now, if somebody that's deep in the separation, they wouldn't have gotten one iota out of what I just said. Period. And even though you may have some questions about it, I bet you theoretically you can kind of see what I'm talking about, even if it doesn't make complete sense on all levels. Okay, the mere fact that it could make any sense to you at all means that you're in the process of awakening. The fact that you could even grasp it at an intellectual level means that you're beginning to wake up from the dream, because when you're in the dream and somebody in the dream is telling you it's a dream, that's when the Course says, that's when you can tell that you're close to the point that you're about to wake up. He said, in other words, you don't know you're about to wake up because you've studied a lot of books. Or, which, you know, the Course says the way you know you're about to wake up is within your physical dream, there'll be other people in your physical dream telling you it's a physical dream, that they are one with you. That's how you know that you're close to the time of awakening. So every time I look at you and I say, you and me and I and you, then I know I'm close to the point. Have you ever had a lucid dream? Anybody ever had a dream? And then in the dream they went, I'm dreaming, right? And then they changed the situation. I don't know about you, whenever I have a lucid dream and I realize it's a dream, I either wake up or I change whatever it is that's happening in the dream instantaneously. Have you ever been in a dire circumstance in a dream and you couldn't figure out how to get out of it, and you went, this is a dream, and then you just wake up?
I did the other night.
Yeah, it's like it's a horrible situation, but you can try to change the situation. You just woke up. See, that's the difference. If you believe in the dream, then you try to fix the dream. If you realize that you are sleeping, and that's what's threatening you, is something in your dream, you wake up. So the Course is trying to get us to wake up.
With messing with the details.
Yeah. Stop trying to rearrange your jail cell. Leave the jail.
Yeah.
Wake up. You know. Stop. You know. It's like wake up from that horrible relationship. Wake up from that financial situation. Wake up from your spiritual unawareness. And so he calls it the happy dream. There's a part in the book that he calls it the happy dream, and he talks about the happy dream as being the dream in which you have no lacks of any kind. So. Here's this the way it goes. Okay, so if I'm full of guilt, right, and then I have a guilty mind, right, then the core thing behind everything that I create, okay, this would be an easier way to see this. The Course is much easier to see in pictures. So let's say this is a person with a guilty mind. All right. Then name some different areas of life. What? We got our family life, right?
And
financial.
Romance.
Romance.
Work.
Work. What else?
Fun.
Hobby.
Social life. Okay, now, since all of these are taking place within a guilty mind, Every single one of those things will present that person with some kind of a problem, because all of them are taking place within a guilty mind. So if he goes over here and tries to fix work, it doesn't ever work, because it's happening within a guilty mind. So the best he can do is a temporary solution. Then he goes over to what? His social life. Soon as it looks like he got the work situation happens, guess what? His relationship goes down to two. Soon as he gets his relationship fixed, his financial situation goes down to two. Anybody recognize this? Soon as you get the health problem happening, then your hobby isn't satisfying you. You know why he's saying? Because it's all taking place within a guilty mind. So the course is trying to get us to focus on our innocent mind, right? Which would present us an entirely different reality. So it isn't about trying to deal with each individual thing. It's about going from a guilty idea or separated idea about yourself to an innocent or loving idea about yourself. Then those same things will have the light of innocence shining through them. He uses the analogy in the book of a lampshade, which I think is really cool. You know, it's like if you got a white lampshade and you put a blue bulb in it, then blue is going to come through the lampshade. So it doesn't make any difference what you do to the lampshade, blue light's going to come through it because of what? It's a blue light bulb. So we're like the person who keeps thinking changing the shape of the lampshade is going to change the color of the light coming through it. So the problem is, oh, it's blue because I got a square lampshade. Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go down to Walmart, and I'm going to get me a round lampshade, and then the blue not going to come through that. And the course is saying, No, you need to change the light bulb. And so he defines the light bulb as our ideas about ourselves. And so that's why the course is constantly trying to give us new ideas about ourselves, and it doesn't focus on manifestation of cars and houses and special, none of that stuff that we're into, because that's like changing the lampshade. If I haven't changed my mind, I'm just going to give myself the same misery through the rectangular lampshade as I did through the round lampshade, and the course is changing the bulb. And so, of course, the part of me that identifies with the lampshade is PO'd. That's why our ego human identity resists the course, because it's the part of us that believes the lampshade is the reality. You follow me? Is it making any sense to everybody? So that's why the ego, which is the lampshade, fights the course, because the lampshade wants you to think it's the source of the light. So my ego, separate identity, the part of me that learned what the world taught me, it rebels against the stuff that the course teaches. That's why the ego loves classes on how to make the separated self stronger. You know, if I was teaching a class on how to manifest money or relationships or career or better appearance or any of those things, the ego would not resist me, and the class would probably be larger all the time.
Self-help.
Yeah, that's why the self-help stuff is so popular. Because in most cases, all it's doing is making the ego stronger. It's not making the person stronger unless they get that the only thing that's real is love or fear. Until we get to the basics of the quality of your mind determines your experience, then you haven't really made a change. As long as we think making an external change is going to work without making an internal change, then we haven't gotten a point yet. And that's why when people come to stuff like this, they can have the greatest, in their own mind, I can't tell you how many people I've met in 27 years that told me they really wanted to change. Or this is really the course, it's really the thing. Yeah, it's always easy to say in the beginning, but as you start going deep down into your mind, dealing with your guilt, that ain't comfortable. That ain't comfortable. You get this stuff stirred up, and all of a sudden, you got all this murkiness going on because you got everything stirred up, and the average person is going to bail because they can't deal with looking at their shadow side. And so they bail. And it all goes back to the bottom again, just like it was before. They get a chance to be a good person again. With, it seems like there's nothing going on. They still got the gook down there. The gook still creates crap in their life, and they still out fighting everybody whose fault it is. Hello. So when you get into the course, you get into an entirely different level of spiritual teaching. And I admire anybody who sticks with it for any period of time, because you really have to be willing to really go for your innocence. Really be a person that's going, I've had enough pain, and I'm willing to do whatever is necessary to make sure it's gone forever. And all kinds of emotions are going to come up. All kinds of feelings are going to come up. You're going to feel depressed sometimes. You're going to feel ecstasy sometimes. You're going to want to pass out sometimes. And you're going to feel more alive than you ever felt in your life. And he tells you that in the book. Jesus tells you every single solitary stage you're going to go through to the awakening. But once the guilt is gone, then that's the cool part. But once the guilt is gone, then there is nothing to present you with constant conflict, because there's nothing in your mind that's producing it anymore. And that's the reward. You get to the point you have a clear mind, and when you have a clear mind, you have a totally peaceful life. And that's what we're shooting for. If people say, well, I've never seen anybody with that. Of course you haven't, because you don't see them until you become it. Yeah, you have to become what you see. We all know that's the basic law of metaphysics, that you see what's in your own mind. So as long as it's in my own mind, I'm going to see other people that got it in their own mind. And that's why we can't judge each other, because if we see each other, we're just alike, or we wouldn't see each other. And the people who've gone beyond their guilt, you can't see them. The book Celestine Prophecy, in the movie Celestine Prophecy, anybody see that?
Yeah.
If you ever get a chance, check it out. Your vibration can change so much that people don't see you. And for all intents and purposes, you become invisible to them. And even though you're sitting right there, they won't see you. Because their vibration is, you know, if their vibration is a guilty, fearful vibration, and let's say a guilty, fearful vibration is like this, and a loving vibration is like that, then as you become more peaceful through studying the truth, your vibration changes. And people who are into drama don't notice you, and they're not attracted to you. They're attracted to other people who like drama. So when people start to really change themselves, they usually go through a period that it looks like people are dropping away, and they don't understand what's happening, and they don't realize they used to be on channel 6, now they're on channel 8. But guess what? You can go back to channel 6 anytime you want to. But this is how karma works. This is another good example. And the course has all this kind of stuff in terms of.
You can't draw a horseshoe?
I'm going to show you how karma works, though. Like people say, well, if you've done something to somebody, then it's going to come back to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's say this is your karma. You did something that wasn't too sweet, okay? And this is your karma right here, okay? And this is where you are vibrating. But you go, you know, that wasn't really a loving thing to do. I really want to change my mind. I want to forgive. I want to let that go. Which is what the goal is, then that immediately puts you on, I like to use this example, let's reverse it. The karmic is down here, and you had a change of mind, and you did something to hurt somebody in your ignorance. That's always out of ignorance. It's always out of ignorance. You can't hurt people except out of ignorance. There is no other way you can hurt people. Is that you got to be stupid. The war is stupid. Somebody attacking you is stupid. You attacking somebody is stupid. All that stuff is stupid. It comes from ignorance. Okay, that's it. The course calls it darkness ignorance. I love that. It says, what is my definition for ignorance? It says darkness. That's what darkness. Okay, so ignorant people are racist. Ignorant people attack. Ignorant people hurt themselves. Ignorant people kill people. Ignorant people rob people. Ignorant people try to possess And all that stuff we don't like is ignorant people. Now, why did I say ignorant? Because the mind doesn't like ignorant. We've already been trained all our lives not to be ignorant. So the minute I say ignorant, there's a part of the mind that goes, but I don't want to be. Don't be calling me ignorant. So what happens is that the course uses what we've already learned to move us out of it, which is a brilliant way of doing it. It takes the words we've already learned, and it uses those words to generate the opposite reaction. So you hurt somebody out of your ignorance. You come to a course class to do some type of human potential spiritual work. You move yourself up out of that vibration to a vibration of forgiveness, which simply means, I ain't doing that no more. That's all that forgiveness means. I ain't doing that no more. I'm letting that go. I'm releasing that. Okay, so you are now up at another level. So guess what? This karma ain't up there. This karma is down here. So if you allow yourself to get back in the grievances, back into the anger, back into the guilt, what does it do? It lowers you back down to that level again, and you meet it again. So I always tell people, I can't afford a grievance. You know, I've lived 20 years doing the Course in Miracles, trusting that the universe was going to provide for me because of my desire to practice what it's saying and changing my thought and changing my vibration. Where I'm around more loving, more generous, more appreciative people, and I want to come from that space. So then I draw people to me who appreciate what I do. I appreciate them. They're generous. I'm generous in what I do, and I'm able to fulfill my function. All right? Because I don't have a 9-to-5 job like everybody else does. So I can't afford to get down on this level of jealousy and grievances and anger and manipulation and all that stuff, because it would lower me back down to what I call struggle consciousness. So the once that you begin to raise your consciousness, you don't have to worry about the stuff you did in the past, because you're not there anymore. And so that's why this is so important to me, is that I don't want to go back to that level of fear and separation. That, like you said, that level where the body's eyes are just perceiving conflict. Yeah.
Does it also affect your health then too?
Absolutely.
It seems like you'd be in such the vibration, you'd be all healed.
Okay, here you go. Here you go on that. Course in Miracle picture. Okay, here you go. This is that's why I love questions. All right. The Course says we believe it works this way, right? We believe our mind is in our body. Mm-hmm. Right? Yes. Right. He said the one rule of truth is, remember this. He said, if you ever want to get to the truth quick, just tell yourself the truth is always, always, always just the opposite of everything the world believes. So if you want to know what the truth is, it's the opposite of everything the world believes, if it's not based on love and oneness. So that means what? Instead of your mind being inside your body or your brain, it's the other way around. Your body is inside your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because all day long you're thinking about your body and your body's comfort and condition. So it really is your body is always inside your mind. All right. Mm-hmm. So if you're full of those grievances you're talking about,
yeah.
If you want to get a good picture, this is a section. It's in chapter 18 called Beyond the Body. It'll blow your mind because it deals with exactly what I'm talking about. And what it says is that, let's say you have hate, like a lot of people hate their bodies, or they're mad. He says the main thing that damages the body is unfulfilled fantasies. Mm-hmm. He says every time you have a fantasy, which he calls a plan, okay, and your body does not accomplish that goal, or that plan, because we always look for our body to go out and do whatever it is that we want, or somebody else's body, right? He says, well, then you get angry, right? And he says, and when you do that, you project your anger and your guilt on your body. See, that's why I regret. I was telling a female friend of mine just yesterday, I was looking at a billboard, and of course it was like these women on the billboard that don't look like no women. Right? The women on TV that don't look like no women. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I said, I have a lot of compassion for women. I said, because they're constantly being having these images projected on them that they're about what they're supposed to look like, that if they don't look like that, then something, they're not attractive. Okay? So then they're walking around with constant anger and disappointment at their body. So they're projecting all this anger and hate and guilt on their body, and then they wonder why the increase in cancer, the increase in this, the increase in that. It's because a lot of women, especially young girls, hate their body because they bought into what? The illusion, which is somebody else coming up with a standard of beauty. Just like when I was young and back in the 50s and 60s, you didn't see anybody black on TV. You just didn't. They weren't on the movies, they weren't on TV, nowhere. And if they and if they were on TV, they were step and fetch it type people. They would laugh and they were giggling, they were talking crazy like they didn't know how to talk good English and rolling their eyes and just looking like complete idiots. Okay, that was the black kid's image. You know, now you around your uncles and your aunts and your cousins and your mama and your ain't none of them. Nothing like that. Okay, so you know this image is being just like the same image just like it's happening right now with the rappers and stuff. It's like people look on TV and they think that's Black America. It's the pants down around their knees and all that. You know, except that being just like anything else, one segment of a community. Okay, the point that I'm making is that those images, then, especially if you're in Middle America and there ain't no black folk around. That's your idea of black people. Point blank. That's your idea of black people. And then you project that out, and then when you see a black person coming, you become afraid. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a perfect metaphysical principle. You know? So, my point is this. The Course is saying then what we need is new perceptions in our minds. Because if we'll give ourselves new perceptions, then we'll be projecting better thoughts onto our body, and therefore increasing the health of our body, and not just that, our whole physical situation. Because he says that your body is your perception. That your body isn't just your physical body. That you live inside your perception. He says we live inside the way we see things. Mm-hmm. This is we call the bubble of perception. So what we have then is individual people all living inside the bubble of their perception. And so what everybody's seeing, they're only seeing their own thoughts. So you got me seeing my thoughts, you seeing your thoughts, you in the middle of your thoughts, me in the middle of my thoughts. Here's my mind, I'm in the middle of it. Here's your mind, you're in the middle of it. Here's your mind, you're in the middle of it. So all you're seeing is your mind around you, right? And then you project it on everybody around you. And that's what all of us are doing. So the truth is, none of us are seeing each other. Like right now, it looks like everybody's listening to me. But the truth is, we're not.
It's like a room full of people. Everybody's got their own TV screen in front of them.
Exactly. That's exactly what it's like. Like somebody would think they're being very objective and listening to what I'm saying, but they're not. They're taking everything that I say from within my little bubble, and then it has to go through there. It has to penetrate their mind, right? And they're going to judge everything they're hearing me say, and then they're going to think that what they judged that I was saying was what I was saying. So the truth is, we're never really directly interacting with each other. So the course is saying, well, what would happen if I gave you a new interpretation, you a new interpretation, you a new interpretation, and it was all the same interpretation, which is everything is either love or call for love. So then I don't have to judge what you're doing, because then I know I don't care how crazy you acting, that's a call for love. I don't care if it sounds like I didn't understand what you said and I'm getting mad about it. Well, it's still got to be a call for love. See, what the Course is doing is the Course is changing our minds from fear to love. And then as it changes our mind from fear to love, that love energy is being projected on us Because we're the ones that's right in the middle of our own mind as physical beings. And then we start to see a totally transformed physical reality. The challenge is, it's subjective. So the other little bubble people out there, they don't see it because they're just seeing what? Their bubble. So you know you're changing more than anybody else around you knows that you're changing. Or you could be in a beautiful experience that no one else really seems to know about because it's subjective. And so you're changing your mind, so you're giving yourself more peace and you're beginning to draw more peace and love to yourself. But don't always look for validation outside yourself because these people are only seeing their own selves. But here's the cool part. If you really do make that change from being the little angry, guilty person to surrounding yourself with a mind of love, then you all start to draw, be attracted to each other. And you'll never be alone again. But that in-between state is what gets everybody. So as we go through this section, I'm going to take my time to go through it. It's about how you get rid of the perception that one thing is more difficult than another. Like this perception that what the Course is saying is harder than what the world is asking you to do. Because when you wake up, you realize that what the Course is asking you to do is a zillion times easier than what the world is asking you to do. If the Course's way of handling your problems is 10 times easier than what your ego comes up with. Okay, any. I know it's a lot that I went off into. Any comments about any of that? Any ahas? Any sharing?
You know, just that idea that is so, it makes such sense, you know. And that's the business of, I have a plan, you know, and then I look to my body to fulfill that. It doesn't come through,
there you go.
So I attack it.
So you attack it. And see, people don't want to believe that it's just that simple. That's the reason why the financial situation isn't working. That's why you got an illness. That's why your relationships don't work. It's because you got a fantasy. The fantasy isn't being acted out. And now you're depressed and you're mad. And then you take that out in your body. And then he says your body gets old and dies. Mm-hmm. He says that's where death comes from. Death is nothing but anger. It's the body being projected as being the reason why my life isn't working. My body has let me down. I didn't do my fantasy.
Mm-hmm. I guess what I'm finding useful is I'm taking responsibility and it's all me and it's all my dream. It's been kind of useful to listen to people talk about me when they're talking about them.
Yes.
Like my friend yesterday.
Yes.
You know, I was sort of counseling her, but, you know, I was going, you know, you've got an inner party girl and you've got a good girl. You've got a part of you that wants to take care of herself. You've got a condition and you need to do this, this, and this, but you've got this party girl who goes out and drinking. You know, and it looked like I was talking to her and about her, but, you know, and now we have this conversation, like, oh, do I have a little party girl? Or if I have my sister calls and she's saying, oh, I feel so blessed and everything's so good. And, mm-hmm. and it's just, and it's not, you know, and again, it's not a judgment. It's just, where am I and how am I doing? Or just look at the people around you,
That's right, because that loops back to what we were saying before about, you know, what he was saying about, you know, when you rebel against the truth, you retreat into a feverish dream, and a feverish dream is where it looks like you're all separate from everything and everybody's out for themselves and everybody's trying to gratify their wants through somebody else. And then the Course says, and the way you try to gratify your want is through anger and guilt. So what happens is that I want you to do something you don't want to do it, so I either guilt trip you into it or I show you I'm so angry until you do it. And that's a game? That's the game. That's the game that we're in. Or I call you selfish, which is a favorite game. You didn't want to do what I wanted you to do. You're selfish. You won't let me manipulate you. You're selfish. If you really love me, you do what I wanted you to do, even if it's the last thing on earth that you want to do.
That's right.
See, that's what I'm saying. And so the Course is saying, well, that's what keeps you on the vibration of struggle. That's what keeps you on the vibration of illness and lack and attack, because that's what you're doing. And this is the other thing. It's the same thing you're doing to yourself if you do it to you. If every time you don't do something that you think you ought to do, and then you beat yourself up for not doing it as well as you thought you should do it, Well, and so the Course says, you know, watch using your spiritual purpose as another way to beat yourself up and attack yourself. Mm-hmm. Then it becomes something like, if I'm really spiritual, I shouldn't have got upset because that person changed lanes in front of me and I cussed them out. Or else I'm not really spiritual like I should be. So what are you doing? And you didn't act out your fantasy of always being peaceful. Your body let you down, and now you attack it. So watch your spiritual ego, because it's the most vicious one. It's more vicious than the human ego.
Oh, man.
Your spiritual ego will rag you out about everything. And it takes you deeper and deeper into fear. So if you want to grow spiritually, the Course says you have to be a happy learner. And a happy learner is a person that doesn't feel guilty about learning. So, you know what? Earl's doing the best he can. He's forgiving as much as he can. He's trying to practice this as best he can. He doesn't always pull it off. Because if he already knew how to pull it off all the time, he wouldn't be here. So I don't look for Earl to always feel good all the time. And I don't look for Earl to always love everybody every minute. I let go of that unrealistic expectation of myself years ago. You know, you won't grow spiritually by going into denial about your feelings and then beating yourself up about being less than loving. So one of the biggest breakthroughs comes when you can lose your temper, get upset, be depressed, be angry, and then don't beat yourself up about it.
Mm-hmm. Girl, can I share something
quick?
One thing I heard from you this weekend at the Advanced Mind Training was, you know, when there's nothing missing, there is no need to manipulate.
Right.
And so, and I had a situation this weekend, and I was really angry, and I was really depressed. And I found myself, like, really in the vibration of that. Like, I was really angry and just could not even fathom, like, connection to God or to other people,
right,
or anything.
Right, right.
And it was really interesting to see how that manifested externally, because, you know, I had, like, some law scare kind of issues,
mm-hmm.
and there was, like, a money thing. I went out and actually took a job that I don't really want. Like, I just made all these rash decisions, like, trying to get back to that karmic vibration.
Yeah.
Trying to get back to
vibration. There you go. Thank you.
And it was
And
it was instant. It was fast. It was like, well, you know, I have not learned anything spiritually. Like, I was about ready to give up, you know, like.
So it was trying to. So it was the ego trying to negate every realization that you had made.
Yeah, and what I found in that was that there was something missing, you know, and that's why I wanted to manipulate the situation and myself and the world around me, was because there was something missing. So once I got to that complete empty void and sat in it and didn't judge it and, you know, drank it a little but didn't drink it entirely.
Yeah.
Like, I just sat in it and owned it.
That's
and
beautiful.
I moved through it.
That's beautiful. See, and you don't know how many things that will never happen to you that would be painful to you as a result of that. See, that's the thing that we don't see how many things don't happen to us because of the way we're thinking. So our ego said, well, you know, you're trying to change and nothing really spectacular really happened. No, a lot of things spectacular didn't happen. That's the beauty of it. There was an accident that didn't happen. There's an illness you're not going to have. There's a bad relationship that's not going to show up as a result of what you did. And that's what we have to keep in mind, is that as we apply these ideas, it creates a peaceful future and present for us. So your ego is going to go, I don't see the big difference. Yeah, you don't know how an accident you avoided today by taking responsibility for your experience and realizing that your ego is going to always do that. It's going to always try. You make a realization, it's going to try to make you think it's a bunch of crap. You make a change, your ego is going to go, see, that's not true. And so what happens when people are really shaken up, like a lot of people were Saturday, then their ego works overtime to try to make them believe that it's not going to work. And part of it is making just really stupid choices.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you walk right out and you do something you know is not going to work, just so you can keep that old image of yourself going. So that was a very big breakthrough for you to be able to say that back to me and recognize that and take responsibility for that. You saved yourself light years of pain.
Mm-hmm.
and suffering. That's the truth. And we're all doing that. And since the ego is all about power, money, fame, and physical pleasure, it has a tendency to think you're not making progress unless, if you're really getting this, now you should have a bigger car. If you're really getting this, now you should have lost 50 pounds. If you're really getting this, now you ought to have a new mate. See, the ego is going to always say, judge your spiritual progress by the world's terms. Always. And you have to be aware of that. That on the path you're on now, it has nothing to do with judging yourself by those things. It's about, am I changing my mind from a guilty mind to an innocent mind so that the whole quality of my experience will change, and that, and then that new vibration is going to infiltrate all areas of my life, including my relationships and all that stuff. But the easy way is to change the bug, and that's what we're trying to do.
Can you just clarify something? I was a little bit confused on Saturday too about innocence. Did we come in believing that we were innocent and then learned or decided, like you said?
Well, here's the kicker. We came in believing we were guilty. We came in. The Course says, this is the world that a mind that believes is guilty creates. So first the thought came, I had to think I was guilty
to be here.
That's why people are born in pain and in pain. That's the clue. The Course says that ought to be our clue right there. The fact that as soon as you get here, the person that's usually having you screaming their heads off, the minute you get here, and back in the old days, they pick you up and pop you on your butt. So it's like, welcome. You know, and so at the very moment of your birth, what was the message you got? Life is painful. That would be the baby's core belief from that point. It's like, oh, life is painful. Okay, that's their core idea. So then they what? Reproduce it. So it makes perfect sense that the thought came before the physical reality. And so the Course is just trying to undo that thought. And then that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Because the Holy Spirit, which is your loving right mind, it has to be the one that takes us through this process, because we're the ones who believe in the guilt. So when a guilty person tries to make themselves innocent, it never works. It never works. That's why when people try to do it without God, it never works. Because he says we're trying to correct ourselves based on the idea that something's wrong with us. And he says, so the very core idea beneath you even trying to help yourself is perpetuating the error. So you need someone who's mad, a part of you who never bought into your guilt ever, to help you. So that's why I don't try to do this by myself. And when I see people trying to do their spiritual path without the idea of a higher power, it's not going to work. It's not going to work because they don't believe what they're trying to do.
But I'm wondering if the book sometimes has sort of a boomerang effect for some people, or like on Saturday someone was saying to me, but we're guilty, and I kept thinking, I don't want to believe that. Like, I want to believe in the innocence, and I want to be innocent, and, you know, if you want to put your attention on one or the other, love or fear, talk about being innocent.
Right.
And she kept coming back at me, so I wonder if even in the book, if somehow as much as they're telling us we're innocent, they get hooked.
Well, what happens is that the more you're told you're innocent, the more your belief in your guilt comes up. So by me saying you're innocent.
No, I'm not,
because I believe that I'm a good person if I say I'm guilty. See, I'm not a good person until I say I'm guilty. And the Course says, no, you're not guilty, you just made a mistake. You know, he says you can make mistakes. Yeah, it's a mistake, but you're not guilty. And so that's what happens. It's like the more you tell a person that they're innocent, the more they'll see that they have guilt that need to be released.
And that's why I grew up Catholic, that's why that works so well, because it's good for you for admitting that you're guilty. Right?
And it's usually Catholics who have the biggest resistance to the Course. The whole idea of sin, the whole idea of guilt, because same thing with Southern Baptists, and then Jewish people just get generic guilt.
Right.
Theirs is just guilt. It doesn't have like a label like sin. Theirs is just guilt.
Oh.
Yeah. And they're the chosen people who get crucified for being the chosen people. So all of us got our little themes. And then the Course said the atheist is just a person who thinks they're alone. That which is that's not all the end of fun. And then he says the martyr is the person that believes that God demands suffering. So thank you for sharing. So the martyr goes, I'm not going to be helped until I sacrifice my happiness. I'm not going to be happy in love unless I sacrifice. So the martyr is all about, let me give up what I want for everybody around me. Let me not do what I really want to do so that everybody else will be happy. That's your martyr. And he says that those people are full of resentment. But it's subconscious. It's hidden. So then they don't ever get the appreciation they think they deserve. And they wonder why nobody, and they don't realize that they're meeting their own resentment, their own subconscious anger about giving up their happiness. So this, if you get a chance, read this section, How Can Perception of Order of Difficulties Be Avoided? Because we're going to go, I'm going to go through it slowly. It's on page 24. And it really does make a difference. I personally don't believe you can get the course just by listening to it. I've never seen it in 20 years. Even though the ego might say, well, I don't want to get that. I can't deal with the book. I don't want to do it. I'm telling you, it's a trick. It's a trick. It's a trick. When you read it, even if you didn't understand it, you'll be amazed at how much easier it will be to hear what I'm saying. Even if it seems like you didn't even understand it when you read it. Because one day you realize you understood every single word. It's just that you weren't ready to accept it. And you'll trip you out. You go, wait a minute. I know what that means. I just didn't want to believe it.
Because understanding is acceptance.
Because understanding is acceptance. Yeah. Yeah. And so you master your ego. So, well, the Course in Miracles is hard. No, the Course in Miracles isn't hard. It's just saying stuff so opposite to the way you've been programmed that your ego mind goes, I can't understand. Well, I don't like the terminology. Okay, well, that should let you know right there you got some issues that need to be corrected, that there are even certain words you freak out about. So, you know, don't you think you don't need to be freaking out about words? And you're going to be spiritually enlightened, but you still freak out about a word that doesn't let you know that something's wrong. If you're going to be the enlightened master of the universe, but if somebody say a word, you're freaking. You know, don't you see that that's kind of contradictory? You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm enlightened, but if you say Christ, I'm going to explode. Well, that lets me know I got some kind of issues around that word, that I learned something about that word that I haven't resolved yet. And that's why I think the Course is written this way, so that it does trigger people and they go, because so many New Thought people think they're further along than they are, and so many of them are further along than they think they are. You see both of them, because they'll talk all this stuff, but then you'll find that they're still just as irritated and upset about little things just as much as anybody else is. But because they can separate their spiritual self from their human self. So they can talk spiritual, but they deal with their reality just like anybody else does. And the Course says, not until you can integrate your higher self with your physical body that you're a whole being. You can't keep them separate like most people do. Yeah. So, I got another seminar I'm doing on the 21st, analogy in your mind. We're changing the bulb in this class. Where all the, not all the other stuff, but a lot of the other stuff is about the lampshade.
Mm-hmm. Aren't each of our lives like this life on this, another life I was a different lampshade? I'm just trying to
Absolutely. Different things. Absolutely. But, you know, absolutely. Absolutely. What we would think of as reincarnation, I would think that, you know, from a Course perspective, it was just other dreams of who we are. That's all. It's just, yeah, you know, I had a dream of myself as being a woman. I had a dream of myself as being a black guy. I got a dream of myself as being, you know. And then if all of you are me, then everybody, I've been it all. Who was Adolf Hitler? Well, that was my Adolf Hitler thought. You know, that's part of me too.
You know, I had a dream last night that was informative. In the dream, there was this awareness and this perception, this awareness, and something said, how come you're a grown man and still living in the house of your mother? Mm-hmm. Of course, my mother's been dead for years, but I got it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, how come you're still living out, you know, something that's not you?
And how did you respond to that question from yourself?
In the dream, it was just, that was it.
That was just, that's all
it was. Oh, it was just a little transmission. It was like, No, actually, I'll tell you what. No, what I did in the dream was I felt somehow less than that I had done something wrong then. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That would be the usual trip anyway, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because that's our program, that you just feel bad about everything. And
yeah,
somehow I know that if you feel bad, it's going to make everything better. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But it's really the way we think. We think, if I just feel bad...
Yeah.
Then everything's going to be better if I just feel like crap. So the average, that the lady you was talking about who said, no, I'm guilty. Well, that's the program. She believes that to see herself as guilty absolves her of guilt.
Mm-hmm. And of action.
And it's just bad. And if I'm a sinful person, I can't help myself. Why should I be loving to anybody? Because I just can't help it. I'm a sinner. You know. And then we're in a world where people who believe that get so much support. I mean, there's so much support for that idea. My face for the rest of my life. You know, I'm sorry, you know. These are cute gray hairs. You know, it's like, whatever it is. But if I want to make it green tomorrow, I'll make it green tomorrow. I like to play with my appearance, but I'm not going to judge myself by it anymore and attack my body and make myself sick. Stop attacking your body. Stop attacking your body.
So, you know, like the lies and cancer, and when we talk about women's bodies, and we talk about, well, you know, the food isn't as healthy and our environment and pollution and all that, but from like from this perspective of the mind, it's that attack of your mind.
And that's what,
ill.
That's right.
In the 50s, we could be a little bit heavier, and the third, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know,
yeah. It's the ego trick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to check my calendar.